Thanks for joining us in advance. We have so many different subjects we can talk about and do talk about. Isn't that right, Hazel?
That's right. Every time I come on advance, there's something, a new topic or a new adventure to take.
But you're very important for this one because you're a good storyteller.
Well, thanks. I think you are too. And I know Campbell is. We hear stories
Campbell
all the
time. Campbell is too. Tell stories to his kids all the time.
Yeah. That's right. You have to tell stories to kids. Otherwise, they get bored.
Well, Hazel, tell everybody where we're going to start today and what we're going to do.
Well, we're on page 15, where the seven is. And yesterday we talked about different types of stories. As you know, this is a book review, so the lady wrote this book to tell the importance of telling stories when you're trying to convince someone or influence someone.
You know, stories have always been a good way to get a point across. I think teachers use it in classrooms a lot too, don't they?
Yeah, and I think of the greatest teacher of all, Jesus, used a lot of stories.
Well, he always told stories.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he didn't go to some big building and talk to people. He went outside and sat on the grass and said, well, look at, you know, how the birds, they're flying around and they don't worry. Why should you worry? Mm-hmm. He's always telling stories, wasn't he?
That's right. Another good storyteller was, we read Aesop's Fables.
Mm-hmm.
And they all have a little moral, something that we can learn from them. And they're just short but interesting stories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then there's always stories that kids have, like, the little engine that could and chug, 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 and then, did you read that story when you were a kid?
Yeah, the little engine that could and different stories like that, the Velveteen Rabbit, things like that that, you know, really inspired us and were memorable. And I feel like every time I've listened to a memorable speech, oftentimes it had a lot of personal stories.
Right, you can remember it more.
Mm-hmm.
So we start in when we're kids, but even when we get older, we go to hear somebody speak, if they just give us a lot of facts, we can say cut and dried. Oh, we get kind of bored and sleepy.
Mm-hmm.
But to tell stories takes our attention, doesn't it?
It does. So facts are important. You probably want to include some if you're speaking to an audience, but you do need to have some stories because you need a topic that people can listen to easily and identify with.
So the article that we are discussing is a book review of this book that was just written recently by Annette Simmons. And what was the name of the book?
Whoever tells the best story wins.
In other words, you will be successful. That's what it means, really. And she said that she writes stories, and she said six different types. There's probably all kinds of stories. But we did talk about four of them yesterday.
We did. We talked about the who I am stories, stories that introduce yourself or tell something where people can know more about your character or your experiences.
And what was the second one?
The second one was why I am here stories. So explaining your agenda and your purpose for giving that talk.
And I kind of like the third one, the teaching stories, because it really helps people more when you create a shared experience and motivates people. And I think it's great to have teaching stories.
It sure is. Maybe you talk about certain inventors to show that you need to be inspired and not give up. So there's mm-hmm. a lot of different educational stories or stories we can include when we're trying to teach others.
And what about the fourth one?
Vision stories. Mm-hmm. So stories about the future and someone's dreams and visions for what the future would be or should be like.
And they do change people's attitudes and encourages them to do something, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think Campbell brought up a very good example. He talked about Martin Luther King Jr.'s I Have a Dream speech.
Mm-hmm.
So his vision of the future was that we could all get along well together.
Right. And every culture has all the stories of their heroes, the people that did things,
mm-hmm.
the sacrifice for the people, right?
That's right.
Those
mm-hmm.
are good. Well, there's this other one now that we're going to talk. There's two more to talk about. And then we'll find out how we can get the right stories. That's what we're going to talk about today, isn't it?
That sounds interesting.
Sounds good.
So we're going to start on page 15. And let's just take the last two things about the stories. We did four. There's two more. And that's on the beginning of page 15. Let's read that now.
Value in action stories. Use stories to show a value in action. hypothetical situations will sound contrived. A true story will make a compelling case for that value. I know what you are thinking, stories. Use a story to show your listener that you are already aware of their unspoken objections or suspicions, and that you have an answer.
So, value in action stories. We know that a value is your character. Are you honest? Are you fair? Are you loyal? So, some stories you tell would share some of those values and why they're important.
Well, sometimes people make up things. So, and if they say, well, this could happen, they call that a hypothetical situation. That's kind of a big word. Let's say it.
Hypothetical.
What is hypothetical?
Well, a hypothetical situation is something that, you know, is made up, something that may or may not happen.
And it you could say, happen.
It could happen.
It
right.
might happen.
Right.
But you know, like,
yeah.
One is if you were stranded on an island out in the ocean, what would you take with you? So that's,
okay,
a hypothetical situation.
Mm-hmm. Well, they do sound kind of contrived. What does it mean when things are contrived?
When something's contrived, it feels like it's just forced and it's fake and it's hard to believe.
It's kind of made up and you think, well, I don't know, it doesn't make too much sense to me.
Right, but if you tell a true story that also shares a value, that's a lot more compelling, or
that's
a compelling
true.
Case for that value.
So true stories are good. Actually, some true stories are so strange, you wonder if they're hypothetical. Because,
that's
there,
true.
You know, certain things that happen to people.
That's true. Okay,
hand, yeah.
I have a value in action story that
What's
happened
that?
To me. One time when I lived in the States, I bought a CD at a record store. So when I counted my change, I thought, I think I have too much, but I wasn't sure because I wasn't very careful with my money. So I went back and I told the man, I said, I think I owe you $10. And he said, well, when I count my money tonight, I'll make sure. I said, okay. So he called me the next day. He said, you're right. You owe me $10. So I paid him the money. And then he said, and now I want you to take any CD in the store and I'm going to give it to you free.
Wow.
So because I was honest in that small thing, he let me choose, some more music for free. So I thought, well, that was nice.
That's
so
a good value for it.
And
is that a true story?
Right?
Then
that is.
That's a
it
true
is.
Story. Huh?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Well,
that's a good example.
Yeah.
If you have a store, be sure and treat your customers like that.
So I'm sure we all have stories like that where we tried to do the right thing and it paid off.
That's
right.
True.
Or we did the wrong thing and we got in trouble.
Mm-hmm. No, that's true.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, those are interesting stories to tell people, too, I think.
That's right.
Know? Well, the I know what you're thinking kind of story. What kind of stories are those, Campbell?
Well, those are stories that show your listener that you are already aware of their unspoken objections or suspicions and that you have an answer.
Well, can you think of any kind of examples of what kind of story that might be? Let's see.
Well, we often tell our readers, you know, study English 10 minutes a day and your English will improve, you know, and, you know, they might wonder, is that really true? You know, can that really make a difference? And, you know, you just share a story about, you know, for example, for myself, I grew up in the United States. So when I came back to Asia, my Chinese wasn't very good, you know, and I needed to take time to relearn Chinese. Mm-hmm. And so I spent a little bit of time every day practicing. And now I'm able to often translate for Doris into Chinese when
true.
She gives speeches. So
that's true.
It really makes a difference.
But, you know, if you're aware of the unspoken objections, like if I'm talking to somebody like maybe Hazel or somebody else, and they'll say, well, you need to study a little bit more language, whatever it is. And I know very well that they're going to say, oh, well, I'm too busy. Mm-hmm. You know, so they have unspoken objections. Mm-hmm. So it's to say, now, Hazel, even if you just do 10 minutes a day, because I know you might say, I can't spend an hour studying, see. So an unspoken objection, I would say, you're going to object, so I'm going to make the story about, I know somebody who just did it for 10 minutes a day, and look what they did.
Mm-hmm. Right, and I like that phrase. You can even say, aha, I know what you're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You're thinking that's not enough time. It won't help me. But here's a story about someone, and it really did improve.
And they were so good in the language. Yeah. So we have to tell people stories that help. We know that they're going to object.
Right.
And parents, don't you have to do that with your kids sometimes?
Oh, for
Why
sure.
Why should you brush your teeth or whatever?
Why should you go to bed?
Tell you about the little kids that didn't wash their hands and they got sick or something. Mm-hmm.
It's better to show the audience that you're aware of that before mm-hmm. they say to you, oh, yeah, that's not going to work. Here's mm-hmm. my objection.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It's better if you let them know you're aware of some of the questions they may have.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the story might be an easier way than just say, I know you're not going to like this. Don't start out like mm-hmm. that. Tell mm-hmm. them a story, huh?
Right.
So that's a very good point. So there's these different ways that she writes when she tries to tell stories, either to speak them or write them. I think it's good. But sometimes it is hard to find the right stories, don't you think?
It is. It's a challenge.
So let's find out a little bit more what our author, Annette Simmons, has to say about that. Let's read the next couple of paragraphs down through line 29, how we can find the right stories.
Finding the right stories. One of the challenges to becoming a good storyteller is finding the right stories. Simmons offers four buckets of story sources from which storytellers can draw. A Time You Shined, A Time You Blew It, Embarrassing Stories Build Trust, A Story About a Mentor, which shows humility and gratitude, A Story from a Book, Movie, or Current Event, that exemplifies the core message. Simmons devotes a chapter to each of the six types of stories. In each chapter, she assigns the reader a general situation. In the chapter about teaching stories, for example, she asks the reader to imagine a pet peeve concerning a job poorly done. The assignment is to tell a non-judgmental story to teach the person to do a better job.
So the beginning of this section, that first sentence says, it is a challenge to become a good storyteller by finding the right story. So then this author, Simmons, says she goes into four buckets of story sources. I never thought stories came in buckets. What's that got to do with it?
Well, I think in general she's just talking about four
sources,
four areas where you can draw stories from.
Okay. There's four different situations, kind of, right?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. I know sometimes people like to put in an interesting word mm-hmm. when they're writing. Ordinarily, we don't talk about buckets of stories. So I never
Not
heard
usually a basket
really.
Of stories. But
a box of stories.
Yeah, but it's just an interesting way to describe the categories of stories.
We understand what she means here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's four of them. The first one is A Time You Shined. Now, when you shined, that means a time when you were successful.
Right, a time you did something very well.
Mm-hmm. So that would be one way to tell a story, when you did something and it turned out well. Can you think of any stories like that? I don't know. Sometimes.
Sure, sometimes we do something and it
When you learn how to
work,
drive a car and you got a license.
Yeah, but it took a few tries.
Yeah, when you were 16, right?
That's right.
Or when you went scuba diving and,
Sure. Maybe you worked hard on a science project and you won a prize. So,
yeah.
So there are a lot of times.
Oh, I have a good story.
What's that?
Well, just one time, I was in a show and at first I was just one of the ensemble members, which just means one of the background actors. But I worked really hard and I was always on time to practice and always on time to rehearsal, and the director noticed me and eventually he promoted me to be the understudy of the lead actor.
Boy, that in America?
No, that was here in Taiwan.
I remember that show.
Yeah.
It was quite good. You did work hard.
I did work hard.
Oh, yeah, I think I remember that.
Yeah.
So you shined.
A lot of singing and dancing for Campbell. Right. Wow, that was great.
Well, I'm not sure if we want to tell the next one, because the second one is the time when you blew it.
Mm.
When you blew it, it means that, wow, she really blew it. It means she did a bad job. It was very embarrassing.
Yes. I have another story about that.
Oh, you do?
Well,
sure.
I mean, earlier I was talking about...
You don't
about,
mind telling it to
I don't mind. I don't
okay.
mind. I was learning Chinese, right?
Yes.
Learning any language, sometimes you make mistakes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, one time... I'll have to use it in Chinese. So one time I was calling a landlord and trying to figure out how much the rent is,
mm-hmm.
right? Rent in Chinese is zhujing. What I ended up saying was... Yuejing, which sounds like...
That's terrible.
Yeah. So if you understand what that means, it's... Yeah. So it was kind of embarrassing because the landlord was a gentleman and
I was wondering why you're talking about that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Isn't that something? Well, that would be kind of embarrassing, but there's a lot of embarrassing moments when you're learning the language, but don't let that keep you from keeping on anyway. So Campbell still kept on, even if you get that embarrassed.
I did.
So you wouldn't have too many more. You studied harder.
Right.
That's right. Wow.
I think when we tell an embarrassing story, everybody has had embarrassing
of
moments.
Course.
So it shows that we
we're
can
human.
Be humble, that
right.
we can be just like everybody else. Mm-hmm. We're not above anyone. And so I think it's a good idea to have a story
right.
in your bucket
right.
about how you were embarrassed at some point.
I'm not going to make you tell one today, though.
Thank you.
But we can tell me one after the program,
maybe.
Right? But what about a story about a mentor? You know, when somebody who really helped you that you looked up to. Now, if you tell a story about someone that really was a big help to you, then it kind of shows you really appreciate it. Can mm-hmm. you think about any things like that?
Yeah, I had a Latin teacher that was just so kind, and I'm terrible at learning new languages,
mm-hmm.
but she was just very encouraging, and even though I never did well at learning Latin, but
me either.
She found other good things that I could do and encouraged me in those ways. And mm-hmm. so I really, looking back, I really appreciate her even more than I did at the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, you she showed humility thoughtful. By telling us that story, too.
Yeah,
that was humility.
I was pretty bad at language.
I wasn't very good at
I
Latin.
Still am.
Latin
but,
is hard.
Yeah.
But, you know, when we tell a story about somebody that helped us, that makes it pretty interesting, too.
Yeah.
And then we all can think of people that have helped
mm-hmm,
us.
Sure.
Right, yeah. Well, Doris has been one of my mentors. And, you know, I used to have this big dream to be a Broadway actor, you know, to be a famous actor. And I remember sitting down with Doris once, and she was sharing about how she had the opportunity to go to a music school, right? But you decided to give up that scholarship and because you had promised God to come here to Asia
right.
and to serve him here. And that really inspired me that, hey, you know, even though I may give up on my dream, God still has given you the opportunity to use music.
Yeah,
and
I forgot that I told
that.
You that story.
Yeah.
You know, I gave up music because when mm-hmm. I first went to China, there wasn't too much music going on. You know, the Erhu, and I was
right.
into all kinds of, you know,
right.
Mexican music and South African music,
right.
but I gave it up to go to China, but now we got music again.
Exactly.
So it came back again.
So. Yeah, so that really inspired me that, you know, even though temporarily maybe I've given up
yes.
on my dream, that he's still using it, you
mm-hmm.
know, and God still mm-hmm. can use those things.
So there's a lot of stories like that, but what about stories from books and movies and current events? A lot of people write about those.
And those are important because we all should know about current events. We all can relate to them or learn from them.
But how can that exemplify the core message? The word exemplify is a good word.
Well, the word exemplifies means to give an example of something,
mm-hmm.
right? So maybe you're trying to, if we go back to yesterday and we're talking about the sweatshops, maybe there's a current event that's happening about sweatshops and you can share that story to kind of highlight what you're trying to share.
Core message, the main point.
And
huh?
I think we often use examples from movies. We'll say, oh, do you remember this movie or do you remember this book when the character was
mm-hmm.
ready to give up and then
mm-hmm.
suddenly there was a big breakthrough?
Mm-hmm.
So we often use those to exemplify, to show our message.
So positive stories like that are good. So
right.
that's one way to find stories. And so this author, Annette Simmons, she devotes a whole chapter in this book to each of the six types of stories. So, you know, you might want to get a book like that someday if you want to learn how to be a better storyteller. But she does something else in each chapter.
That's right. In each chapter, she assigns the reader a general situation. So, for example, in the chapter about teaching stories, she asks the reader to imagine a pet peeve concerning a job poorly done.
Pet peeves is kind of a good term. We all have things that bother us, that frustrate us a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so we always say, this always bothers me whenever it happens. So it's like a pet. We always bring it up.
Mm-hmm.
We call it a pet peeve.
Mm-hmm.
It's a grievance.
Yes.
We kind of vent about it sometimes. Do you have any pet peeves that you know of?
I do. I don't like it when people drive carelessly and put everyone else's life in danger.
Mm-hmm. Does that bother you then when they do that?
Yeah, especially if they're whizzing by me and I just feel threatened.
Fearing
because
your
they're going
scooter.
So fast. So it's just something that often they're showing off, or are they really in such a hurry? I can't believe that so many people would suddenly be in a hurry.
Well, it used to bother me when people would spit too on the street all the time. They don't do that so much anymore.
Yeah.
Or when people are always late to something, say, how come you're always late?
You know? Right. Or when people cut in front of you, let me vent a little bit about that.
Yeah. I don't like it when people smoke. That really drives me crazy. Mm. Or one of the things I really don't like is when you're on a crowded MRT or you're on a crowded train and people don't give up their seats for like pregnant women or older people.
That's right.
You know, one time we were on the high-speed rail. It was a holiday. The train was crowded. I was carrying my daughter. My wife was carrying our other daughter. There were no seats. Nobody gave up any of our their seats for us, and we're standing with our two children.
So when people aren't considerate to others,
that's right.
So yeah, she tells you a lot about some of those things in story. But the story, then, you have to tell this in a non-judgmental story to teach the person to do a better job. So you're not trying to judge all the people necessarily, but you're saying the situation was like this.
You might offend everybody in the city if you say nobody gave up their seat, but I could follow that up with, the same thing happens to me sometimes, and then maybe I'll get on the next MRT, and just it seems like suddenly someone will get up and say, oh, why don't you take my seat?
Mm-hmm.
So oftentimes it works both ways. You're not expecting it, and someone does give up their seat.
Right.
So people are not that bad, but there are a few that could learn a little bit.
Well, and I think
more
you have
manners.
To be careful not to say, well, like, for instance, they were from a certain school.
Right.
Well, that's not the school's fault.
Right,
because
that's
that
right.
One, so from this high school, they acted that way.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Don't blame that. That's being very judgmental.
Right.
It doesn't matter what school they were
from. Right. You know, here's an embarrassing story. I thought they were cutting right in front of me. I was waiting for the elevator, and they got right in front of me, and I told them, get in line. And actually, when they took another step toward me, they said, Hazel, how are you? That's really embarrassed. I thought, I hope they didn't hear me say, get in line.
Maybe they were just trying to press the elevator button to help you get on first.
Yes.
Who knows? Right? But we all have a lot of different stories to tell. And it's really interesting. But let's just read the last section here, the final section of how to do this in this book.
In the final section of this practical how-to book, Simmons helps the reader hone the craft of storytelling. She covers areas such as how to add sensory details that make the story experiential, the importance of brevity, and the power of multiple points of view. In an information age world that seems enamored with the mass processing of big data, whoever tells the best story wins offers the refreshing perspective that the most traditional of all types of communication, the oral history, is also the most effective tool for influencing and leading people.
So the final section then is a very practical on how to tell a storybook. She helps you hone the craft. That just means to sharpen it, make it better. We like to hone our skills, improve them. And how does she do that?
Well, she covers areas such as how to add sensory details that make the story experiential.
That's kind of hard.
I'm having trouble with that word today. In other words, just details, maybe adjectives that are very descriptive so that people can also experience what you experience.
Sensory details.
That's right. So I think of a story that Doris once told about how she was in the mountains and these cockroaches were crawling over her skin.
At night when I was sleeping.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So that's very experiential. You can feel the cockroaches on your body.
Yeah, that's true. That's the sensory details, you know. But another thing is when you tell stories, don't make them too long. It's very important to keep them short and to the point. What word says that?
Brevity.
That's important, isn't
Keep it short. We all know people that just go on and on and on. You have to look around and see if people are still listening to you. Are they still interested? And if they're not, you
stick to the point, right?
You need to stop talking ASAP.
That's true. And also, you know, all of the different points of views, just stick to the point and get down to it. But it tells us in the very last paragraph here that right now in our information age, people are always throwing these statistics, big data at us, and they're saying, do you know this and this and this? But it gets kind of boring.
That's right. So it says that people seem to be enamored. When you're enamored with something, you like it a lot. You're very focused on it. So it seems like people are all about statistics and numbers. But usually, as we were saying yesterday, is these numbers kind of get boring sometimes.
Right. And so, whoever tells the best story wins, not the one with the most facts, the most information.
And so that's good. And oral history, just telling the stories, is very good. And it's a very effective tool to influence people and lead people.
That's right. So learn how to tell a good story and learn when to tell the right story, and you can be a good influence.
That's right. And maybe you'll win.
That's right. You will be ahead, and everybody can learn to tell a good story. So hope these guidelines will help you, and don't be afraid to pass on information. Use these six types of stories to influence and give people more imagination. So thanks for being with us, and we'll have another lesson coming up tomorrow. Come every day to Advance, and you will find that we'll have some good stories to tell, too.
That's right. And be sure to check out our QR codes scattered around the page, the introduction, the feature, the insight, and get it right.
And on your smartphone, look up m.studioclassroom.com and see our topic talks.
Yes.
So see you next time, everyone. So let's go out and have some more stories, Hazel.
Okay.
Sounds
okay.
fun.
Yeah, did I ever tell you about the time that...
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.